Let us stand and share together in our confession of faith. Will you pray with, share with me our Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead and ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Our first scripture lesson is taken from Proverbs chapter 1, 20 through 33. Wisdom cries out in the street, in the square she raises her voice. At the busiest corner she cries out, at the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? And fools hate knowledge. Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded. And because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. When panic strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated with their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster. Our second scripture is taken from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after the 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let's give our Chancellor Choir some more affirmation. And they certainly have come to magnify the Lord on this day. Let us come before the Lord once again in prayer. Master, speak, for thy servant heareth. I am listening, Lord, now for thee. What hast thou to say to me? Now, Lord God, may the words of this your servant's mouth, and indeed the meditations now of each of our hearts, now be found to be acceptable, Lord, in your most holy and excellent sight. For you and you alone, you are our rock, you are our strength, and you are our one certain and sure foundation. It is now in the blessed name of the one who calls each of us by name and speaks to us through the wisdom of his Spirit. The name, the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, do we now lift this prayer and wait on the abundant blessings of his Spirit. In Jesus' name, these things we pray. Amen. Amen. So let us take note once again of our text from the book of Proverbs, first chapter beginning in the first verse of that text, verse 20. Wisdom cries out in the street, in the squares, she raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? And fools hate knowledge. Give heed to my reproof. I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you, like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, we're once again talking about what we call wisdom literature. And these are words of advice for anyone who cares to listen. These are insightful observations about life passed on by those who have lived and experienced life from generation to generation. And these words of wisdom can be for us and for anyone else who would care to listen, the difference between life and death itself. And yet, as our text says, so many will hear and yet fail to listen. So many will ignore the teachings of their wise elders and of all those who have experienced the benefits of listening to God both in good times as well as in bad. So many will refuse to take heed to the wise counsel of Scripture and of those who posted themselves on the watchposts for the word of the Lord. Proverbs 1, verses 20 through 22 says in our text this morning, wisdom cries out in the street, in the squares. She raises her voice. At the busiest corner, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. And this is what she says. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? There's a little story I'd like to share with you about a man who was stuck on his rooftop in the midst of a flood. And this man was praying to God for help. Soon another man in a rowboat came by and the fellow shouted to the man on the roof, "Jump in, I can save you." Stranded fellow shouted back, "No, it's okay, I'm praying to God and he is going to save me." So the rowboat went on. Then a motorboat came by and the person in the motorboat shouted, "Jump in, I can save you." This, the stranded man said, "No thanks. I'm praying to God and he is going to save me. I have faith." So the motorboat went on. Then a helicopter came by and the pilot shouted down, "Grab this rope and I will lift you to safety now." This, the stranded fellow again said, "No thanks, I'm praying to God and he is going to save me. I have faith." So the helicopter reluctantly flew away. Soon the water rose above the rooftop and the man drowned and went to heaven. So the man finally got the chance to discuss this whole situation with God, at which point he said, "I had faith in you, but you did not save me. Instead, you let me drown. I don't understand why you allow such a thing to happen." To this, God replied, "I sent you a rowboat and a motorboat and a helicopter. What more did you expect? Wisdom is everywhere around us. If only we have eyes to see and ears to listen." And by wisdom, I'm referring, of course, to godly wisdom. Godly wisdom is everywhere around us, crying out for our attention. Someone once said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I would also add, insanity may also mean not doing something time and time again when we have the opportunity to do so while expecting to be in a different place in our lives. Our text from Proverbs again says, wisdom cries out in the street, in the square she raises her voice. At the busiest corner she cries out, at the city gate she speaks, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? I recall the situation earlier this summer where a day or two before the Republican National Convention, there was an assassination attempt on the former president. And we all were justifiably horrified at how close this assassination attempt came to succeeding, and how close we came to publicly witnessing another national tragedy. And those among us in the faith community, through our faith, believe that it was only by the grace of God that a bullet only nicked the former president on the side of his head, and that no serious harm was done to him. I believe all of us, at least in the faith community, believe that it had to be by the grace of God that he was spared. And the former president himself even proclaimed this to be, look at some of you laughing already. Former president himself even proclaimed this to be an act of God, and said he was going to tear up the speech he had prepared for the Republican convention and give a different speech instead as a result of what he had just experienced. But I think differences began to emerge in terms of how different factions of the faith community began to consider how best to interpret this close brush with tragedy. To the former president's legion of followers, for them it was a sign of God's continuing favor upon the one they believed to be God's anointed leader. But to others of us in the faith community, although we did believe this to be a sign of God's grace that the former president's life had been spared, we tended to interpret it more as a quote-unquote wake-up call. A wake-up call to this former president, reminding him that he wasn't as invincible as he and his followers might have thought himself to be. Yes. And for me, the fact that a high school student was able to penetrate the former president's security to get that close to assassinating the former president with an AR-15 automatic rifle, the same type of weapon that the former president and his supporters support keeping in circulation, was even more evidence for me, at least, that perhaps God was trying to get his and his supporters' attention at the hypocrisy of their stance on this issue and their belief in him as God's anointed leader. Sometimes wisdom is, as our scripture suggests, calling out to us from the streets, and yet we refuse to listen. And when it came time for the former president to give his speech at the Republican convention later that week, instead of seeing a changed man, I believe we saw and heard the same person we had seen and heard before. Our text reminds us that wisdom often calls us, but all too often we refuse to listen. So if we choose to ignore the wisdom of God that has been made available to us, and if we choose to scoff at or be dismissive of those things that the Lord is trying to teach us through God's word or attempting to reveal to us in our everyday lives, then there will be consequences for us at some point. Just a question of when, where, and how. Verses 28 and 29 of our text this morning says, "Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." So according to our text, there will be consequences. When the Lord finally says in so many words, "Enough is enough," to those who refuse to pay attention to the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God being made available to us with multiple warnings. Enough is enough. Perhaps God says in response, "You made your bed," as the saying goes, "and now you have to lay in it." And while we do trust and believe with good reason that God is gracious and merciful, Psalm 86 verse 15 says, "But you, O Lord, are God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in steadfast love and faithfulness." But we also ought not to lose sight of the fact that there is another side of God. Another side of God that none of us should ever hope to see. And that's the side of God that reminds us that there is a tipping point, even with God, where patience runs out and consequences begin to follow. This is why our text this morning at points sometimes appears to be so stark and almost shocking in its admonitions. We heard earlier from verses 28 and 29. Now listen to what verses 24 through 26 have to say. "Because I have called and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you." Pray to God that you never see that side of God. Indeed, godly wisdom can mean the very difference between simply existing as the walking dead or living as those who are vitally alive in both flesh as well as spirit. But yet there are many who will fail to latch on to godly wisdom until much of their lives and their earthly energy has been misused and misspent. I have seen too many people who were taught better, who should have known better, who were exposed to enough godly wisdom through those around them, if not directly through God's word, but who yet still chose to ignore and turn their backs on having a healthy fear and respect of God, and having everything that could have helped them to be in a much better place emotionally, spiritually, and even physically. But then turning their backs on the very thing that could have helped them in their time of need. A later text from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." If you truly respect and revere God, God will impart to you in one way or another all the insights, all of the evidence of what God would have you to do, what God would have you to know, and put you in position to be under the umbrella of God's favor. And the quote-unquote fear of the Lord, as it is spoken here, does not necessarily mean that we have to literally be afraid of God. But fear in this sense means simply having a healthy respect for God and having a desire to build one's life around God rather than trying to build one's life around something or someone else. One of the other books of the quote-unquote wisdom literature in Scripture, the book of Psalms, which is a book considered one of the books of wisdom in Scripture, wisdom literature in Scripture. The book of Psalms says in Psalm 127, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it do what? Labor in vain. And unless the Lord guards the city, the guard who keeps watch over the city keeps watch in vain." So those of us, therefore, who have been exposed to godly teaching and who have learned to have a healthy respect for the place and the value of God in our lives, will have access to a truth that will pass the tests of time. It doesn't matter whether we're in sunshine or in rain, in the valley or on the mountaintop, we will always live in the security that God will provide and take care of us. We will live with the assurance that God will shelter us in times of storm. And we will live with the peace of God, a peace that the world can neither give us or take away from us. Because as Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32 and 33 also says in closing this passage, "For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But those who listen to me will be secure and will live at ease without dread of disaster." Beloved, take heed to these words of wisdom and build your life around them, and you will always live in the shelter and in the security of God's abiding presence. Amen, and thanks be to God who allows such things to be so. We open the doors of